Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's time. We're back. The Wrestling Perspective Podcast. Last week, we were not on air because I don't know how to send a text. So that's my bad. My bad, as they say on the streets. Dimitri Young, Dennis Farrell, another week, another podcast. I sent the text. He replied. I was like, so a little behind the scenes. He sends me a text like, hey, let's do Friday or Saturday. I don't remember what day. I'm like, all
Saturday.
Right. Saturday. Yeah, it's like, perfect, great. And then I went to send a text to say, what time do you want to do this? Did hit send. Do you ever do that where you send a text and you put your phone down and you think you hit send?
Not only have I done that, I've sent the wrong text to somebody.
Ooh. All right. That's a rough one right there. Because was it like someone you didn't want to talk to? And then it's like, how do I get out of this? You know.
It was more along the lines of, You're reading a text from somebody else, and then you'll see somebody text, and then you'll respond on the text that you're reading instead of going over to the next one.
You accidentally
nothing incriminating, though.
Okay.
Nothing incriminating.
No, okay. Was it like Sean Casey, and you're like, I didn't really want to talk to him?
Oh, no. No, I definitely want to talk to Sean. Case man.
All right. So a lot to get to this week in wrestling. We do want to kind of touch on WrestleMania since we didn't do a podcast about it. I know it's old hat right now, but you know what? For him and I, it's new hat. So bear with us for a second. What were your thoughts real quick on WrestleMania?
Night one, night two, or as a whole?
As a whole. Let's go as a whole.
It was enjoyable. It was very enjoyable. The Paul Levesque era is officially here. I enjoyed it from beginning to end. I liked everything in between, even some of the matches that, you know, like, I still like that because they added stuff to it, like the Bobby Lashley, the Pride versus the Final Testament, where you had Snoop Dogg come down and commentate, and then you had Bully Ray. Yeah, he's Bully Ray to me. You know, WWE doesn't like the whole Bully Ray thing, but when he went to TNA Impact and became Bully Ray, I just thought that he did a great job of that. But that was stuff like that throughout the entire WrestleMania. It was star-studded. It was impactful. It was, I mean, all the stuff that you really want to get out of pro wrestling and what you think of Triple H, he brought all of that out.
I will say, in like the last three or four podcasts, every time we talked about Cody Roman, I was anti-Cody winning. I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. I realized that in the middle of the match. The match was phenomenal. It blew me away. Even with a couple of the people popping in, Throwback says it was it's good. What's good? We're good so far. But I got to say, I've turned the corner on the Cody Rhodes thing. Now, I'm a little wary on where they go with the story. I'm very interested on where they're going with the Bloodline storyline. But for Cody winning, I didn't want to see it happen. I didn't want to see it happen this soon. I didn't think they had plans in place. But boy, that match made me go, all right, let's see what happens with Cody.
It did the same thing with me, you know, because I was anti as well as you were. I wanted to see him break Hulk Hogan's record. You know, that was my real reason behind it. But that storyline with The Rock coming back, and each week it was something different. And I don't know if they did that just to get fan reaction and see how the story was going to go. But when Cody Rhodes got the 1-2-3, and then he called in Bruce Pritchard and Triple H after you had all the big time fan favors that were out there, all the baby faces, it was just like, man, this is pretty doggone special right here. And it couldn't have happened to a better person, because before he left, he was Stardust. And then he decided to go and tour the world and really made a name for himself as a premier top tier wrestler, and then goes to AEW, helped start that up. And then he did a disappearing act and went to WWE. And I mean, that storyline was fantastic for what, 2 years worth of it?
Yeah.
You know, him getting hurt wrestling Seth Rollins with the torn pec. And I got to give the flowers to Cody Rhodes. Beautiful.
Now, I do want to ask you this question as we get into this, and then Cody and switching in. When the match is going on, who'd you pop off for more, Cena or The Undertaker? And then we'll kind of get out of here.
John Cena. That was sick when he came in, and then the rock bottom. But you know what I really like? The Shield music.
Yes.
I was thinking Dean Ambrose at first, but then Seth Rollins comes to the ring, gets Superman punched. and then when Roman had the chair, he had a choice. And he hit Seth Rollins like Seth Rollins hit him years ago. And that proved to be costly for Roman Reigns. And 1, 2, 3.
I definitely like that too. And in old hat news, once again, let's move into the CM Punk video, which for wrestling fans was the most anticipated video that these guys, that wrestling nerds have been waiting for since Pamela Anderson sex tape. So what did you see? Like, everybody, and it's the weirdest thing on the internet, because if you're a CM Punk guy, you see it totally different than if you don't like CM Punk. And I've watched it a few times. I don't know if it's really the story that's been told from both sides. Actually, I think there was some spinning up from either side. And after your reaction, I'm going to tell you why I think it was a good idea AEW released it.
Well, I'm neutral here. So what I saw was a confrontation, and then it heated up. And it was pretty much what CM Punk said, really. It was a shoved and a little chokehold, and then Samoa Joe came, broke it up, and then he went towards Tony Khan, said something, because there was no audio, we don't know, can't read lips. And it was done. So it was almost anticlimactic to me.
I totally agree. And in your time in Major League Baseball, I'm going to ask you this. How many times have you seen something like that in a locker room? I mean, it probably happens more often than it actually gets leaked out, right?
Oh, my God. I've seen quite a few of them in my 13 years, and never seen the light of day. Never seen nobody in the media knew what happened, or, you know, nobody from the other team. It never reached the media. never on television. But yeah, I've seen quite a few of them, and they get finished pretty much like that.
So for you, because listen, I could call you an expert on this, being in what should have been a, I don't know, off limits or closed room, behind the scenes, not accessible to fans, not accessible to media. A fight breaks out. And then there's a difference between a fight breaking out and people staying quiet and nobody getting suspended. Because, look, I don't know. I'm only assuming in your time in baseball, you've probably seen some fights where you go, that guy probably should be suspended for a day or 4 days or whatever they do. And they don't because people are quiet. How different would the landscape be right now in wrestling if people kept quiet?
If people kept quiet, a lot of things would be swept under the rug, really. I mean, it became major when people made it major. To me, that wasn't anything major. It was a discussion. It was a disagreement. They tried to talk it out. They got into a little skirmish, and that's what that was. That was a skirmish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing really escalated from there. They separated them. CM Punk wound up doing his match. And phew, gone. And I know that you said that you wanted to talk about the reason why they did bring that up. And I thought it was quite funny because I was expecting a lot more when they decided they was going to air it. And I know that for some sense, they're using that for storyline purposes, which, I mean, if it's your footage, you can do what you want. And that could be quite interesting how this works itself out, especially between the Young Bucks and FTR, because FTR are real good friends with CM Punk. As we know, the Young Bucks would wipe their ass with them if they had a chance.
Oh, nice. I will say this from this point of view. I'm neutral too, right? I know Lars was best friends with Punk, and, you know, I came to know Punk a little bit through Lars. I'm neutral. I don't know if one side's better than the other, but I will say this. For Tony to release this, it's out now. Nobody can talk about it. You're not going to hear these interviews from people trying to figure out what happened, poking and prodding. It's done now. You release a video, we talk about it for 4 days. It's done and gone. You can't see... I can't see any more wrestlers being interviewed about this because we saw it with our own eyes. I think Tony was smart where, and I don't know if it was intended or not, but I feel like he cut the head off the snake. Like, all right, you know what? No more of these interviews. Done. It's out there. Good, bad, indifferent. There it is.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they're not talking about it anymore.
No. I mean, we are, but we're late, so.
Yeah, we're about a week late, thanks to you.
I'm sorry. Listen, if Tex had audio, we would have fixed that problem. But, and I guess they do. Either way, I'm glad the tape is out now. I will say this now, and this is a question for you. Punk's run so far, AEW versus WWE, what's better? Minus him being injured, but he was injured in both promotions there for a while anyways.
Well, obviously his run in AEW up to the point where they had the all-out stuff with the Elite and then with Jack Perry. Before then, I thought he had a sensational run because he was getting that push from Tony Khan because that was Tony Khan's original guy that he wanted. And he got him, and I mean, he did all he could with him. However, WWE know how to do people right for the most part. And everything that happened in WrestleMania, night two, oh God. You know, Drew McIntyre winning, and then him going over there, just kind of rubbing it in CM Punk's face, and crawling on the table and then standing up, and then CM Punk just swept his feet from under him and then start beating him with that doggone sling that he had on, and then here come Damian Priest's music.
Boy, and Damian with that briefcase, and it went flying. I was like, I don't know if he'll see that briefcase again. I thought it went out into the crowd.
He knocked the stank out of him.
That might have been, and I will tell you something. Up until that moment, WWE did a pretty good job of making me feel happy for Drew McIntyre. He won it. He's in the ring. He's crying. They built this great moment up. And I'm just like, you know what? Good for Drew. Like, I'm not a massive Drew guy. I think Drew's a good wrestler. I don't know if I'd have been happy if he won or didn't win. I didn't really care. But he's in the ring, and I'm going, hey, good for the guy. You can really feel the moment. Then he goes over and starts, you know, taunting CM Punk a little bit.
Hold on. Let's not forget that he went over there and he presented the belt to his wife.
Yes.
And they took some pictures real quick. And that should have been a telltale sign right there that something bad is about to happen. Because that's not Drew McIntyre's character to do what he did, really. So him taking a picture is like, all right, this is my one time up with the belt. Ching. And then he went over there and just kind of just rubbed it in CM Punk's face. And, well, CM Punk got the last laugh.
Well, we did get a quick question here. The question is from Throwback 987. The question I have is, which run AEW WWE has a major impact with just reaching in runs, etc.? I don't know. I'll tell you what, WWE just does it right, you know. And we're going to bring this up here in a second with something they just started doing with their production. Happened in Detroit with Kevin Owens, where he cuts the promo and they follow him out to the ring. And with just this past week, when they did it with who's the Intercontinental Champion? I'm blanking real quick.
Are you talking about Sami Zayn?
Yes, the Sami Zayn walking into the arena, the camera following, he's high fiving the fans. You like that? Now I want them to limit that because that feels special, right? That feels like something that the tracking is what they call it, the production tracking in wrestling right now. Love it. I love that WWE is adding this in. I don't want to see it every week. I want it to be kind of a protected thing where it feels special. It felt special with Sammy. He's looking at the arena. He's like, I was here as a kid. I'm walking in for my matches. I did as a and as he walked in and high-fiving fans, I felt like this was a special moment, a special match, even though it was just like a Raw match. And that tracking, if done right with WWE production, that could be gold every time they do it. But I'm a little worried that they're going to do it every week, and then you go, all right, the guy gets a hot dog and he high-fives some fans, and now he's out wrestling.
well, knowing that we're talking about it, and I know other podcasts and stuff are talking about it as well, so I have a feeling WWE is listening to their fans, and you know, maybe they do make it a special occasion, maybe like a title match or in this case, with the women's, you know, world championship, you know, Rhea Ripley having to vacate it due to an injury, which is sad because, boy, she was a dominant champion. Oh, my God. But, I mean, it'll be special to see something like that in the finals, whomever it may be.
I'm kind of – listen, I don't want to wish injury on anybody, all right? But to get the belt off Rhea Ripley, this is a perfect way. She doesn't lose. You got somebody in there with a little bit of a fresh face, you know, however long it takes Rhea to come back from this injury. And when she finally comes back, she didn't lose a champion. She inserts herself right back into the picture, and whether she picks up where she left off or now has to chase – I love that this is intended or not. Like, when it comes to injuries in wrestling, I don't know. I'm not a dirt sheet guy. I like to be surprised. Part of me feels like this is a legit injury. Part of me feels like, hey, this could be a setup for something awesome. I don't know in wrestling. And I love that I'm questioning this.
Yeah, I mean, there's two angles from that. One, she comes back and, well, obviously she's going to start a feud with Liv Morgan. You know, her revenge tour started with Rhea Ripley. Or number two, she's going to be going out there whoever has her belt. If it's not Liv Morgan, it could be Nia Jax. It can be, I mean, Chelsea Green, for all I know. You know, somebody's going to be the world champion, and Rhea Ripley is going to be coming like a dog on a Rottweiler after a steak.
Another question. What do you guys think about the Women's North American title? Who do you guys think should win it? Give me Liv versus Rhea with Liv having the title. I think that's kind of perfect. I'm on par with that line of thinking because I think Liv deserves it. There's a ton of great names out there right now. None of them make me think, my thinking here is you put these titles on some of these young established girls and then Rhea comes and takes it off. I think it sets them back a little bit, right? Liv could carry the title until Rhea comes back, loses, and it doesn't hurt her one bit because she's established. She's
right.
Used to losing, but I can view her as a champion. I can view her as a legit loser, and it doesn't change the way I feel about that. You put that belt on like a Jay Cargill now when Rhea comes back, and which would be an amazing match, but if Rhea beats Jade at this point, you take away everything you built up with Jade.
Oh, 100%. It's got to be a slow build with Jade Cargill. And I mean, knowing Triple H, the way that we feel that we know him based on the way he ran NXT and the way that he's running WWE now, it's like, it's going to be a slow burn. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be a slow burn. It's not going to be, they're not hot-shotting the titles or anything like that. They're going to have people have memorable title defenses. Kind of, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of NWA in the mid late 80s, where everybody had substantial title runs with it. It could be 6 months, it could be 8 months, it could be over a year, but it's not going to be like the Attitude Era where you get three world championships in one night kind of deal, you know? And that was good for the era that it was in. But now we have too many legitimate people, and the way to build up a company is to have established champions and have worthy challengers. And that's what Triple H is doing, because now it's like, man, you do have like four or five people in each division that at any time can get the 1, 2, 3 and hold up the belt.
I agree. And I like that the storylines now are not 1 month long and onto something else. They're starting to be brought back out. Now, listen, 90s storylines that take a year, year and a half, sometimes 2 years to come out, I don't think that's sustainable in today's wrestling, but a year-long storyline, I absolutely love it. And I love long-term storylines in wrestling. And this last 2 years has been pretty amazing for me as a guy who likes the longer. And I don't know, wrestling fans out there, if you're watching, you can either email or jump in the chat and say it. Do you like the longer storylines over the shorter storylines? Dimitri, what about you?
Oh, I absolutely love it. That's what I grew up on. You know, when I was 11, 12 years old back in the mid 80s, yeah, I'm dating myself, I'm 50. And it was enjoyable when guys would come in and like Dusty Rhodes would hold the U.S. belt, and then he's getting pummeled by Nikita Koloff, and then you had a whole summer going into the Great American Bash, and then Nikita Koloff would lose, and then they'll have a rematch at Starrcade in November or December, whenever they're holding it, and then that's when he's crowned champion. Or you know what I'm saying? I kind of like, it's the thrill of the chase. I put it that way. You know, you see the guy that's constantly trying to get him and the champion to somehow come out victorious, especially if it's a heel champion. The heel champion always finds a way out of it, whether it's a DQ, count out, you know, a dusty finish, whatever it may be. when that guy finally gets the belt, it is well worth it.
I agree. I'd like to see, in even back in the day with wrestling, where they had, like, you know, when Macho Man was in an A storyline with Hulk Hogan, he always had like a B and a C mini storyline that kind of kept you interesting and diverged off a little bit. And sometimes you see that. You definitely saw that with the Bloodline over the past year and a half, with a couple A, B, and C storylines. And I like that kind of stuff too, where it's not just Bloodline versus Sammy, but then Sammy doing this and this guy doing it, and then it weaves together at the end. I miss that in wrestling, and I got a little bit of that with the Bloodline and what they're doing now. Oh, which feels like a Civil War kind of thing coming on. I didn't even see that coming. In all honesty, no. I thought you'd see The Rock and Roman go at it. I didn't even put two and two together and think someone's going to split sides. You know, say what you will about WWE. I know if you're an AEW lover, WWE's dying and their storylines are stupid, but this Bloodline storyline for the last 2 years has been amazing. And they've recovered three or four different times when it was dead in the water. They turned Sami Zayn into a main eventer. They've elevated anyone who's been a part of the storyline. Cody Rhodes finishing the story. I don't know if I would have cared as much if it was him trying to finish it against any other storyline right now. If it was him trying to finish his story against Rollins, I wouldn't have cared this much.
No, I mean, you're right, because the Bloodline story in itself, watching Roman Reigns, who once upon a time, people couldn't stand him because he was being forced down our throats. And then he comes back with the heel persona, the Bloodline, head of the table, you know, had the Usos, that little Civil War right there, and then Jay breaking out on his own, and Solo Sikoa coming in, and now we have Tama Tonga. At first I thought it was Jay at first, and then I had to look back, I was like, oh crap. And we talked about that already, that he should go with the OC. And I was like, I don't know. And, you know, him being, you know, Haku's son and being part of it, because Rock considers Haku family. And now they're talking about Jacob Fatu being signed to WWE. That is a monster. I've watched him as the MLW heavyweight champion, part of Contra. And that stable in MLW, and seeing what this guy is really about, and they talk about his past, you know, it was like, man, there have been many people that had to go to jail and stuff. Who gives a rat's ass? He's rehabilitated. He's been dominating wherever he's been for the last umpteen years. Does he deserve this chance? Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Talk me off the sledge here, man. Because watching this play out, this past couple weeks, I don't know if Solo is the guy to lead one side. I don't feel like they built him up to be a badass, but I don't feel like they've built him up to be a leader. I don't view him as the leader. I don't want to see Jay versus Jimmy either. And I feel like it was kind of too early maybe to start setting up a little Civil War stuff. But I might have held off until you knew you had The Rock, you knew you had Roman, and start setting it up, and then have them just kind of pop in and out as the two factions start bumping into each other. But unless Solo, and I guess Solo said in his interview, in his promo, you know, he got the order from Roman. I feel a little bit better because of that. But boy, talk me off here.
I don't think he got the orders from Roman.
Ooh, do tell. I'm listening.
I think he did that solely on his own.
Look at you with the puns. I like that.
Yeah, he's stirring the pot right there. That's exactly what he's doing. Roman's not there. The Rock's not there. they just beat the stank out of Jimmy. And so it's him and Tama Tonga. And next is going to be Jacob Fatu. And then who else from the Anoa'i family is going to show up?
Well, I don't know about the Anoa'i, but another comment from Throwback. He throws this in. He goes, don't forget Naomi and Nia Jax. They're family too.
Well, Naomi's husband just got the stank beat out of him, so I don't think Naomi's going to be joining. However, Nia Jax, that just adds more credibility to her, and that just gives her back. And kind of like how Rhea Ripley with Judgment Day.
I didn't even think about that. And Nia, I feel like, lacks that backing from someone, right? Nia to me is kind of always feels like she was the Andre the Giant of the women's division, right? But yet they never gave her those Andre the Giant moments. And I don't know, I get sure she's kind of screwing things up for herself wrestling wise, but I think being protected and you put herself around a bunch of guys that know how to wrestle or people, I feel like she could get better. Where I don't think WWE has put her in a position in the past to be that person.
No, they didn't. You know, that Vince McMahon ran WWE towards the end is kind of like what they did with Braun Strowman. You know, this big dude who looks like he's unbeatable gets beat. And it's like, huh? Like, Nia Jax is 150 pounds. Yeah, she's 150 pounds bigger than most of her opponents. But yet she somehow loses. It's almost like unfathomable to think that this is really true. Now, Hunter Hearst Helms, why did I call him Hunter Hearst? Terrorizing. But Triple H, he seems to know the strengths and the weaknesses of everybody he has on his roster and know how to utilize them correctly. For the most part, you know, there's always one or two that we can be like, oh, well, what about this guy? We're not talking about what about this guy. We're talking about Nia Jax right now and how she fits into possibly the Bloodline storyline and, you know, being backed up by family. She's obviously the cousin of The Rock, which makes her family with all of those others with the Bloodline. So I see that being a natural fit. Almost to the point where I wouldn't be surprised if she was the leader until Roman gets back.
Well, let me ask you this. And as we transition, we got two more topics, but I do want to touch on the WWE draft coming up. Kind of old school on this podcast when it was me, you, and 800 other people, we used to do the wrestling drafts. So let me ask you, you know, Dimitri Young, MLB All-Star, you know, Comeback Player of the Year. You are the general manager of Raw. You have the number one overall pick. Who are you taking?
Oh, that's easy. The WWE Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion of the World and the Galaxy and beyond. The American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. He's been putting asses in seats. Everybody loves everything that he's doing. SmackDown's the number one show. So we need to boost up Raw.
Everybody watching, who would be yours? And if you're watching past, email us. We'll talk about this again next week on the podcast. But who would be your number one overall pick? Cody Rhodes, not a bad one. Man, I don't know if you can do much better than Cody Rhodes as the number one overall pick. I don't hate Seth Rollins either. You know, you have to go with the two champions. You can't go with a part-time wrestler. I don't feel like Roman Reigns should be in the draft because I feel like he's going to transition to a part-time wrestling position. Rock shouldn't be part of this draft because I feel like he's going to be a special occasions guy. I don't know. Maybe Cody. I can't say Cody because you just took Cody, and now
Rollins. Something wrong with Damian Priest?
No, but do you feel like Damian Priest is the number two overall pick, even as a champion?
I think so, because you're going to bring Judgment Day with them.
Yeah, but do you think every number three hitter in Major League Baseball was great?
Not for a last place team.
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't just
Judgment Day is not a last place team.
It's not, but I mean, sometimes factions get split up in these drafts.
And that's the bad thing about it.
And also NXT is drafting too. Thank you out there.
Ooh.
I know. That's a tough one. Because you know what? I would say in my top five, I'd easily put Bron Breakker.
See, and I like Carmelo Hayes.
There you go. I mean, there's two guys right there that should go, I think, four, five overall. But then I'd put Rollins ahead of them. Cody definitely ahead of them. You know, if Damian comes with all of Judgment Day, sure. But I can't believe that they'd put, well, she's hurt, though. But, you know, I can't believe Rhea Ripley would just be lumped into a Judgment Day. Then if that's the case, Judgment Day should go number one overall because you're getting Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley, right?
Yeah, but they've been on Raw.
I'm just saying, but in a draft situation, if you had to draft...
Yeah, in a draft if Raw went first and SmackDown second, you're going to want that faction.
Yeah. Would you take the faction as a whole?
Damian, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, no, I won't. No, I'll take Cody Rhodes first, and then I'll take Judgment Day second with Khan Dom. I absolutely love him, man. God dang. As soon as he has a mic in his hand, he's about to speak. The roar of booze is just incredible. And that means he's doing his job.
It reminds me of Vicky Guerrero when she was at the height of her, you know, excuse me. I don't know which boos are louder. And when you can get it to that level, you're doing something right. And I always said Vicky Guerrero never got the roses she deserved for for being what she was on TV. And she wasn't even, she was married to Eddie. She wasn't a wrestling personality. She just kind of happened into it. And the way that she pulled it off and made that hers, phenomenal. And the way Dom's doing it is even better. I don't know who's gets the loudest boos. And to me, those might be the top two in the last 20 years with just the constant reaction every single time.
Oh, man, people just have so much disdain for Dom. It is just unbelievable. But you know what? Number three would be Gunther.
All right. See, too many good names. It's so, I can't wait to see how this goes because I'm actually, for the first time in years, I'm normally anti a draft because I always thought it was hokey and dumb. And then some people got drafted and some people stayed on the show. And then when some people, you know, would be drafted way lower and higher, it was just never made sense to me. So I'm hoping, and I've pitched this to PD in the past. And hopefully one day it works. But I felt like they needed to treat it like the NFL draft. Have the ticker at the bottom with the names. You go back and you see all the GMs with the war rooms on the phone, making phone calls, trying to figure things out. And give me a real NFL draft vibe. I honestly think the WWE draft should be its own separate show, done like the NFL, you know, draft. It does it like that.
I totally agree. You know, I've seen the MLB draft, the NBA draft, the NHL draft, the NFL draft, and all of them are a special day. There's a special day. There's no, we're going to pick some people and then we're going to have a wrestling match and decide. You know, I think that was just Vince McMahon trying to be different. Let's see how Triple H does the draft. I hope he does it more like a sports thing draft where it'll be a special show in itself and not necessarily be a part of Raw or SmackDown. It'd be like a special, maybe a special Wednesday going up against AEW. Why not? Why don't we just keep the battle going between the two and have a draft night on Wednesday?
Boy, the drama. Wouldn't it be kind of cool to watch the drama as you see, like, you know, the top two picks kind of sitting at tables in suits with like family members, and they get called and they're shaking hands and they walk out and, you know, they hand them a Ra hat and they put it on and come. I think that would be kind of awesome.
I think it would be too. And then of course we're going to, it's wrestling. So there's going to be a little bit of this thrumpy going on and stuff. And yeah, it'll make everything a lot more interesting. Why not?
And if you did it every year, you could have stats like this is his third year being drafted in the top five. You know, stuff like that where you keep track of where the guy gets drafted every year and be like, you know, he actually slipped. He went from number 3 to number 12 this year. You know, is he losing a step? You got so many cool things you could do with that.
Oh, yeah. And you have Mr. Irrelevant, the last guy picked.
Oh my God. I didn't, once again, great pull, because I didn't even think of that. That would have been great. Yes. The storylines would be phenomenal. As we wrap this up, I know we're getting, you know, close to the end of the podcast. Let's talk about the Motor City Machine Guns. The rumors out there right now is they're signing with AEW, going from TNA. And listen, Saban's a really good friend of mine. I've not reached out to him. I'm going to wait till it's like official before. I don't want to be like, hey, I heard the rumors with you. Because I already did that once when his contract was up. I'm like, you'll have more time to have beer with me. And he's like, yeah, you know. But, and you probably have that, right? When were you? You were a free agent, right?
Yeah, briefly.
So, like, the second you become a free agent, then you have all these people texting you like, hey, buddy, how are you? Where do you think you're going to end up? Just, and you know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. They want to get the scoop. Mm-hmm. They want to know, what are you thinking? Where are you thinking about going? Where are you feeling? And for them, I mean, Jesus, we keep talking about flowers and stuff. This is one of the most decorated teams ever in Impact TNA history. And do they deserve to get on a big stage? Absolutely. You know, what they've done in the wrestling business for as long as they've been in, they need a new challenge. And AEW need tag teams. You know, for a place that used to be littered with tag teams, it's like we get the same two or three tag teams now. We have FTR, we have the Young Bucks, and then we always get a mixture of somebody and somebody else, as opposed to having an established tag team. So it's good to have an established tag team. Hopefully they come in and wreck shop right after either FTR or the Young Bucks win the championship. They come in and boom, boom, and establish themselves.
Now, I will say this, and I hope somebody out there we'll clip this and send it to Saban. I could easily do it, but it's just cooler if someone's like, look what Dennis said about you. I think it's a mistake for them. Financially, I guarantee this contract is probably twice as big, if not bigger than what TNA can offer them. I will say at this stage in their career, going for the money is a smart bet. But me as a fan, me as a Chris Saban, you know, a friend of his, I will say this. I don't like it for them. I feel like, TNA is losing, you know, a guy in Saban who is also a producer in the backstage. I'm neutral on Shelly. I'm not a Shelly guy. Shelly's kind of been dickish to me in the past. So I'm okay with saying that. So I'm going to take Shelly and push him aside. Saban is the guy I feel like is the bigger loss for Impact and TNA. Going to a bigger stage and in a company where I don't know if all the rumors are true on how the backstage is run or if it's a mess. I don't know any of that stuff. I like Tony. He's a good guy. He's always returned my texts and treated me well. I will say this. I feel like them going to AEW now, they will be overshadowed. I don't know if they'll be used right. And, you know, there's so many other great tag teams where you go from.
Name those tag teams there.
Young Bucks, FTR. There's okay, two. Right.
I said those two.
You did say those two already.
Private Party.
I think they're younger and more up and coming. What about Scissor Me?
The Acclaim, they're the Trios champion right now. With
I feel like the Acclaim a little bit higher right now. I'd put them.
I like them though.
The guns?
They're okay.
I'm just saying, it's a great tag team division. They can spread their knowledge, but I think in the grand scheme of things, you go from big fish in a small sea in TNA to big fish in a massive ocean. And I worry that as a fan, financially, I think this was a great decision. But as a fan, I feel like they're going to get lost in the mix.
No. I'll put some money on that one. I think they're gonna take care of those guys because I mean their name alone and what they've done over the past decade and a half is, you know, you can't erase that. And Tony Khan's a mark for guys like that and being able to bring them in and give them some sort of shine. I think they're gonna definitely get some shine. They're not gonna get lost in the shuffle.
Well, let me ask you this. By shine, do you mean holding a championship?
Holding a championship and getting proper TV time and good storylines.
How soon do you think they'll hold a championship? Because I have a bet. I'm ready for a bet with you.
All right.
How soon? I'm letting you pick the timetable.
Fall.
4 months.
Fall. Let me see. Where are we at? April, May, June, July, August. 4 months, we're still in the summer. I'm saying between October and December.
They hold a champ. You know what? I got a bet for you. Here's the bet, right? If I lose this bet, if they get we're talking tag team, not trios. Tag team champion, not Ring of Honor either, because that's cheap.
No.
Main show tag team champion. If they get this tag team before October or December, you pick the 1 month.
Let's go December because I'm saying it's going to be in that span.
All right. If they get a tag team championship in December, I will send you a $100 gift certificate to whatever restaurant you want.
Man, that ain't going to be enough. That'd be enough for drinks.
How?
What I want.
$150.
All right. Now, yeah. I'll do the same.
Oh, no, I want something totally different.
Hey, none of that P. Diddy stuff.
I want an autographed jersey of yours.
Okay, deal.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right. I feel like that's a very fair bet. And this might be our first real bet we've ever made on this show. So December. You have until December. This is
going to be... All right, Tony Khan, if you're listening, help!
I better call Saban. No, I'm excited. I can't wait to see what jersey I'm wearing in December with your autograph on it.
It's going to be where you're living.
I'll take it. Trust me, that'll be awesome. Put like two Dennis, the greatest co-host I've ever had. You know, something inscribed like that. Because that's not going on eBay. That's going in my personal collection.
Where you'd be watching all your pay-per-views and stuff, where you have your stogie and your beer.
Damn right. I get that because I've got one with Herman Moore when I did the Detroit Lions pregame show with him, and he's like, two Dennis. Because I would, to me, when I get something like that, I want it with my name on there. I don't want to sell it. I don't want it. I want it to be like two Dennis because it feels more special that way. So I'm going to have yours and his jersey up next to each other.
Dang. Being up there with Herman Moore, man, that's special right there, man. He was awesome. He was kick ass. I liked him.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, if you only would have sent Jason Kendall a hat, I would have gotten a stupid jersey. Oh, every week. Where's my hat? Where's my hat? It's like a high school hat. What are you talking about, Kendall? I've never seen any. I love Jason. Jason, you know I love you. I've never seen anybody work harder for a high school baseball hat than he did with you. On the air and off the air.
Oh, man. Oh, he was so supportive.
But yes, there we are. Bets in the books. I'm excited about this. This is going to be a fun bet because, you know, hopefully it comes down to the wire to make it interesting. I'd hate to see them win it on their first night and be like, fuck.
That'd be cool too.
No, it wouldn't. Not for me. Not now. I'm invested in this.
Yeah, we both are.
I know. Gosh. So, all right. One more thing before we call it a night. Sheamus's return. Glad to see him back. I am glad to see him back. I will say this. I like Sheamus no matter what condition he is in. This dude is a beast. And you know what? When you come back from an injury, sometimes you don't look 100%. Give him 3 months, get some ring rust on and get back into shape. I think he'll look good and probably quicker than that.
Oh, definitely. You know, when you're injured, a lot of times you're not allowed to be mobile at all. You don't just have to sit there and wear it until you're able to start moving around and stuff again. So, you know, he's going to boost up his cardio, especially doing all that stuff he does in the ring, man. You just can't help but to get back in the ring shape and stuff. So he's going to be chiseled in about 2 months. Get that summer bod ready.
I agree. And there's no worries. He's getting older. You come back from an injury that shelved him for what, almost a year, if not, you know, people are in there saying they want me to get a Tigers jersey, by the way, from you. But I will say this, give him a little bit of time to kind of bounce back and rebound. The dude's been injured and he's what, 36, 37, 38, something like that. He's not a young buck anymore. So it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get that physique back, and he will. And I'm not a big fan of body shaming anyways. You know, I went from being a big guy to a skinny guy. You went from being a big guy to a skinny guy. I think that was one of the first things that really kind of brought us together was when you were on the cover of Diabetes Magazine. Yeah. Was that it? I reached out and was like, dude, big fan. I think we were Facebook friends. I don't know if we've chatted much before that. And I was like, hey, you know, I even took a picture. I think it pops up once every 5 years of it's our anniversary. And and I think that was kind of the one thing that started you and I kind of becoming friendly. And then we started talking about wrestling, and then here we are now. And so I will say this, you were a bigger guy in your playing career. You probably heard everybody poking fun at you at times. I mean, it's not you. Oh, you
they used to do articles. Like if I was to go back and be like, hey, you see how I got fat chains right here? And I mean, the reporters just used to just go in like it was funny. I was like, man, if I would have backslapped the shit out of you, you know, they go a lawsuit. But nowadays, you can't do any of that stuff, which it didn't bother me anyway, because they didn't make a difference whether I get a hit or not. It was a matter if I got a hit or not.
I will say it brought a smile to my face. It was, I don't know, 2-3 days ago. I'm playing around on TikTok, right, and scrolling up the videos, and there's an algorithm, and there's a great interview of you where you're basically like, nobody cares to watch Barry Bonds that bum. I don't know if you remember that interview. And I kind of chuckled. Yeah. And I was like, that's the Dimitri I know. That's there he is. I mean, come on. Was there any backlash for that? I'm going to ask you on the air because how much I love you.
There was no backlash on that because everybody knew that Bonds was an asshole. He was a douchebag. Assholes are cool. Douchebags, not so much. And matter of fact, after that, he got the first base before he hit the home run. And he was asking me, what is it like playing in the American League, as if he was going to go there.
Okay, Barry. Yeah. All right. Anything, Eric, what are you planning on watching this weekend?
Ooh, what do we have? We have NXT tonight. We have AEW on Wednesday, Dynamite. We have TNA on Thursday, and I believe somebody has a pay-per-view on the 20th. I think it's TNA.
Yes.
So I'm gonna be watching that.
I've been going back and watching classic stuff. Like, I turned my garage into a dart room because I just got into darts heavily. I don't know if you've ever played darts.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll throw pay-per-view on, and then like 4 hours later, it. And the one thing I do like about Peacock is if you start in like SummerSlam 89, it goes into SummerSlam 90. Then you can watch all the SummerSlams like that. So I'll probably do maybe the Great American Bashes, the WCW ones. And this week, like I'll get on the kick. Like I'll be like War Games, classic WCW War Games, and watch nothing but WCW War Games stuff. So I don't know. I think I might, because it's starting to get nice outside, I might be time for a little bit of SummerSlam.
That's always a good one, because that's going to be the next real big one coming up, unless we have a money in the bank.
I know that under AEW Dynasty is this weekend. Thank you guys. I will say that I'll save it for later. I don't even really have a thought. I'm just talking to hear myself talk now. But the Dimitri Young, what do you got going on? Talk to us.
Nothing. No baseball, just doing hitting lessons and stuff, and then what we're doing here.
Hey, I got to find your speech from your grand marshal time. Did you get that sent to you? Because I want to watch that stuff.
No, I didn't get it sent to me. It wasn't really a speech, really.
You're just like, hi. You didn't say my name, did you?
I mentioned it when I did a couple of interviews, because they asked, what are you doing these days?
I got a podcast
with Dennis Farrell, and we talk about professional wrestling. I was a big wrestling fan, and blah, blah, blah. And then also, you know, coaching baseball with kids and Clubhouse 805 with Royce Clayton and the Weaver brothers, Jeff and Jared and Mike Lieberthal. We have a facility right by Oaks Christian High School in Westlake, which is about 20 minutes away, where, you know, we're just sick and tired of all these freaking hitting gurus, pitching gurus who never played the game, but yet they're teaching and teaching the wrong way because they're doing it for money. And number two, because they're doing it for money, they don't really care about the health and the growth of a ball player, and they don't care about the development or anything like that. They care about that almighty dollar. So we collectively got together and have a facility where we'll just roam around, let kids come in and just drop nuggets on them and have it like a clubhouse setting. Like before the whole thing with Josh Hancock, he was a pitcher with the Cardinals back in 07. He went bar hopping and then he wound up crashing around midnight. Yeah. And after that, they wind up taking all the liquor, or actually just beer, out of the clubhouse. So,
for a short time.
Well, no, it's for good now. Like they don't have it. Like, really? That's why, yeah, guys don't stay in the clubhouse anymore. It used to be after the game, and this was pretty much every game. You'll spend at least an hour after the game, maybe 2 hours, and you got guys in their sliding pants and their beat up undershirt, you know, tossing back some cold ones, discussing the game. And that used to just be tradition. Like I remember when I was in St. Louis and I was a rookie, I was pew, pew. I'm getting ready to go. And I go, hey, Rook, where you going? Where you think you're going? Oh, I'm about to go out. Mm-mm. You can go and tell her that we'll drop you off at the house. But yeah, we're going to discuss the game. And that became, that was that with the Cardinals. When I went to the Reds, it was like that. And it wasn't like that with the Tigers, but I started having guys stay after the game. It was like, where are you going? You know, you're going home. We just lost. And we need to discuss what we can do better out there. And so guys would start staying afterwards and built that up. And then it was like that in Washington because there was a few veterans that was over there. And they kind of instilled that with the younger players. And then after that car crash, you know, it was like that players will get out before the media comes in. And that's usually 10 minutes after the game. So guys will take the world's fastest showers and get out of there.
I will say I've been in a lot of, wrestling locker rooms. I wish it was like that because, you know, at the end of a show, they always say, you know, you guys should stick around till the end of the show. They don't really do that. Don't listen. It's a mad dash to sneak out when your match is over. And boy, I think of how much coherent those locker rooms would be if you know, these guys were forced to sit and talk about the show afterwards.
Oh, I mean, everything would be that much better if guys were able to stay at least 45 minutes after the game just to discuss the game. Because one, that brings you closer together. That's like a whole bonding thing. And number two, as a rookie, when I was a rookie, I was like, well, I think this is what it's supposed to be like after the game. And it was like that. And knowing that it was like that from the history of the game, you just think back in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. And yeah, they talk about guys being drunks and stuff like that. It really wasn't policed in that manner. And as time goes on, things get policed where now things have a little bit better organization for after the game. But once the alcohol was gone out of the clubhouse, it was like, I'm out.
All right. Do you guys have a site or anything for your clubhouse, or is it just invite only? Because I want to show up.
It's a membership.
All right. Well, you know, at least this time they can't run Royce Clayton out of St. Louis because of this. So Royce Clayton is the one guy I've always felt bad about because he had a great major league career, goes to to take over Ozzie Smith's job. Does a good job, too. He was not a bad shortstop for the Cardinals, but yet got ran right out of town because he wasn't Ozzie Smith. And I always felt, if you ever have that conversation with him, tell him there's one guy from St. Louis that knows it's bullshit and always had his back.
Well, you know, Royce played for 8 different teams after that, right?
PTSD.
Yeah, And he's actually my nephew's head coach at Oaks Christian High School. I coached with him for 3 years.
Yeah. Did he replace Ozzie Smith there too?
Ozzie Smith was never here. Oh. And Royce been here, been at Oaks, let me see, about 8 years now.
All right. I'm glad to see that he got out from under his shadow. But just to always tell him, there's one guy that knows. That's bullshit. I got his back. All right. Wrestling perspective. We'll see you next week, guys. We can't wait to talk to you again. Dimitri, I missed you, my friend.
Miss you as well. Next time, push that send button.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. Thank you. We'll see you again next week. Johnny, come by quicker and we'll get your comments online. Thank you, guys. Remember, watch us on Fightful. You can watch us here. Like, subscribe, email the show, WrestlingPerspectivePodcast@gmail.com. We'll make sure your questions get answered. We've got to do a question. The emails are starting to back up, so we'll do an email show maybe even next week. I don't know. Who knows? So thank you, guys. We'll talk to you all later. Have a good one, guys.
Peace.